Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had a week this week that you will never, ever forget. We are still battling the NAACP. The world around the community, Whirlpool corporations by the NAACP. That's right. For that mule they promised us in those 40 acres, the NAACP has been sold to the corporations. It says Whirlpool Corporation had declared a takeover of the NAACP and Benton Harbor, Michigan, the Twin City brand. It is stunning, shameless, unreal. A young man by the name of Marcus Robinson, that is correct, Marcus Robinson, president of Consortium for Community Development, a component of Cornerstone Alliance and Whirlpool, a component, their liaison, a black man who Whirlpool Corporation has sent to rally up the troops in the city of Benton Harbor and to make the NAACP a corporate operation here in the city. What he had done, he had went and met with the state president, Yvonne White, and Vice President James Gill. They, in turn, I'm assuming, they went to the national, and they declared that this branch has not met in 6 months, which was a lie. But I tell you one thing, we are going to fight until the end. We plan not to allow them to get away with this. Our goal is to let them know that we're serious about what we're doing. But listen, before I bring on my first guest, let's listen to a little Malcolm X.
This is why I say it's the ballot for the people. It's liberty or death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. America today finds itself in a unique situation. Historically, revolutions are bloody. Oh, yes, they are. They have never had a bloodless revolution or a non-violent revolution. That don't happen even in Hollywood. You don't have a revolution in which you love your enemies. And you don't have a revolution in which you are begging the system of exploitation to integrate you into it. Revolutions overturn systems. Revolutions destroy systems. A revolution is bloody. But America is in a unique position. She's the only country in history in a position actually to become involved in a bloodless revolution. The Russian Revolution was bloody. Chinese Revolution was bloody. French Revolution was bloody. Cuban Revolution was bloody. And there was nothing more bloody than the American Revolution. But today, this country can become involved in a revolution that won't take bloodshed. All she's got to do is give the black man in this country everything he's doing. Everything. I hope that the white man can see this. Because if you don't see it, you're finished. If you don't see it, you're going to become involved in some action in which you don't have a chance. We don't care anything about your atomic bomb. It's useless. Because other countries have atomic bombs. When two or three different countries have atomic bombs, nobody can use it. So it means that the white man today is without a weapon. If you want some action, you got to come on down to Earth. And there's more black people on Earth than there are white people on Earth. And we got a couple more minutes. The white man can never win another war on the ground. His days of war victory, his days of background victory are over. Can I prove it? Yes. Take all the action that's going on this earth right now that he's involved in. Tell me where he's winning. Nowhere. Why, some race farmers, some race eaters ran him out of Korea. Yes, they ran him out of Korea. his napalm and all that other action he's supposed to have and ran him across the Yalu. Why? Because the day that he can win on the ground is past. Up in French Indochina, those little peasants, rice growers, took on the might of the French army and ran all the Frenchmen. You remember then, fool. No. The same thing happened in Algeria, in Africa. They didn't have anything but a rifle. The French had all these highly mechanized instruments of warfare. But they put some guerrilla action on them. And a white man can't fight a guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla action takes heart, takes nerve, and he doesn't have that.
You're listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edwards Pinckney. I have a very, very special guest on today from Colorado. He was the former president of the NAACP in Colorado, and strangely enough, the same thing happened to him is happening here in the city of Benton Harbor. Let me ask my guest,
yes,
Reverend
sir.
Pinckney here. Can you say hello to my guests and tell them a little bit about yourself?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney. My name is James Tucker. I live in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I've been involved in the struggle in Colorado Springs for 37 years. And I found that the NAACP, not only in Colorado Springs, but throughout this country, is the enemy of all black people because they're not willing to set up and fight for our people. And it's time for reform in the NAACP. It's time for a new movement to stand up for black folks in this country. In my particular case, you were blessed to have a following behind you because in my case, they lied on me. They went as far as filing a suit against me for false charges and everything else. And it went through the court system, and the court system ruled in their favor. I went all the way to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. But it's common from my experience throughout this country that the NAACP does not want people in a position that's going to stand up for our people. And now is the time to stand up because almost every government in the United States, every local government, county government, and national government, at national level, they're running systems similar to slavery.
Mm.
Where they're making all decisions for us and not including us. And we must take a position now or never to bring an end to it and demand that we're inclusive in all decisions, all things that are affecting us.
Yes. And let me ask you this, James. I know one of the things that they lied on me about, they went around telling people not only in Washington, in Maryland, not only up in Detroit, but they came down here into my territory and telling people that we had not had a meeting in 6 months, and that's why they want to have a new election. We know it was a big, big lie, but in your case, how did they maneuver to get you out of your position?
Well, they tried for several years to get me out, and they used conservative radio stations. They work with the Democrats, Republicans, and conservative whites that are anti-African Americans, and they got a lot of money behind them to basically try to destroy my good name and reputation.
Mm-hmm.
They work with one African American who does not believe in affirmative action. I got documents to show that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they use his testimony to attempt to destroy my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I saw being jealous at the conference I just went to in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, and I'll tell him, you know, to his face, that he better not hurt you and he better protect you.
Mm.
But I told him that face to face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, I tell you what, we were still waiting for them to file a brief as of today. They have not filed an answer to our complaint. And I know they're going to file one because they don't file one. This branch gets $100,000, and they're going to be doing everything within their power not to. I can't wait to see what they're going to file because I can imagine the lies that they're going to tell in order to neutralize them. And you know, and we're going into the courts now, and remember, the courts That's part of them in their own way too. You see, they got enough money to go out here and buy these judges also.
That's
interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I know how you feel, but here's where you and I are going to get together on. We're going to get enough folks together and file a class action lawsuit against them. And I think that's the direction you want to go in anyway, isn't it?
I'm for action because I'm retired. I'm a retired teacher.
Yes.
I'm retired from the military.
Mm-hmm.
And since I left the office, I cannot rest because of discrimination cases where the local branch refuse or they don't take action when there's a need, when they have cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I get phone calls day and night from people who need help. And there's no question that shit should be in violation of their rules and regulations where they don't help people.
Yeah. Well, that's all over the country. They don't help nobody. They don't want you to help nobody. When you start helping them, they get mad and want to replace you.
Oh, yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah. But the thing about it, most people don't talk about it. I tell you, for the next 10 years, I'm going to be talking about the NAACP. I'm going to let them know that we're not really satisfied with them. Whether we win the case or lose the case. And look, here's the big thing. I'm not that in love with the NAACP. Normally, I wouldn't be fighting them, but I hate to see somebody just come in and try to take something. You see, I am not a lover of the NAACP. Matter of fact, they've been just a shell for the last 30 years, basically.
Yeah, that's so true. They take money from corporate America.
Yeah.
And one of the so-called leaders told me when I was at the convention, it's not about the people, it's about money. I was surprised that one of the national leaders told me that.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
And at least he told the truth.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. He told you the truth. It's not about the people. It's all about the money. And that's what they be talking about. It's all about the money. They don't care about you. They don't care about Reverend Pinckney. They don't care about the people in the community. They don't care about nothing. Only thing they care about is that corporate dollar. And, you know, the reason why I know that, these guys, they went to work on me soon as they met with these guys. I mean, sometimes you meet and say, well, let's think about this before we, you know, jump into this because, well, you know, our credibility is at stake. But they just do what they do and get away with it. But I'm planning on fighting them all the way. I'm planning on even taking it, like you said, you took them to the Supreme Court. But I like to put them out there on Front Street. They're having
I took them to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeal.
Uh-huh.
And I would have taken them to the Supreme Court, but I found out that there was a conflict of interest. After I paid all my money to an attorney,
mm-hmm.
I found out that this woman worked for one of the largest corporate firms in the state of Colorado, which was Holland Hart. And my attorney did not tell me that until I got through the 10th Circuit Court of Appeal.
Mm.
I was going to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court, but I decided that, you know, all these people in bed together and be wasting my money and time.
Well, you know what? I think if you can get that publicity out about them, it'll be worth the try. But I tell you what, when we're going to work on this class action lawsuit, because I got people from Atlanta, New York, Shreveport, Louisiana, and I got folks from Minnesota and Milwaukee and from Detroit. I got some people in Detroit that's also going to sign on with us. So my goal is to have maybe 15, 20 different branches, and that way we have enough firepower to deal with them. So
they have the same situation in Denver, but you got to understand what they did to me. They expelled me from the organization.
Mm. Well, I'm expecting they're going to expel me, too. I think it's really just, but I'm going to ask for my money back.
Well, they didn't get my money back. You know,
they're
going to
give me
my
money. If you're going to take my, or you're going to let my expire one, because I'm not planning on paying no more memberships, no way. That's how I feel about it. But my thing is this. If you're going to expel me, you're going to give me my money back. Because that's one of the tools that we keep getting these $30, which they don't really live. That's like that's their lunch money, these $30 we're giving them. But it makes people think that they're there to help them. You know, and the branch in Detroit is ridiculous. I tell you, they're having their Freedom Fund dinner next Sunday. And one of the groups that's really support me, they're giving them an award. So they can separate them from me. But like I told them, that award is not going to separate me from them. I mean, you know, if they want to accept the war, I don't have a problem with them because I still know that they support me. They'll support
right.
me over them any day.
You
absolutely.
You know, now is the time to build a grassroots movement. I mean, we got to have a movement today. I mean, we don't have our young folks don't have a future.
Yeah.
In this country.
Yeah. But, you know, we just, you know, James, we just have to do what we have to do and take this thing to a whole different level and deal with this thing because I tell you, you know, the things that we're doing right now, we just have to stay focused and don't get sidetracked. But listen, James, you got about 2 minutes to say whatever your heart desires. You got 2 minutes to talk about anything you want to talk about, and then I'm going to bring on my co-host, my friend, Ralph Pointer. You go right ahead.
First of all, I just commend you for taking a stand as a black man. It's important to be a leader like you, and I admire you for standing up, and I support you. I just want you to know that.
Hey, you know what? I appreciate that, James. And, you know, and what we're going to do, we're going to work together and see what we can do to get this thing done because I know that they don't want the world to really know about them because most people don't. Nowadays, the young folks, they know nothing about the NAACP.
That's right.
They don't have a clue what the NAACP stands for or what they do. We just had a teen queen crowning just recently, and, you know, we made the girls do some research and find out what the NAACP means. And, you know, I didn't want to break their heart and tell them that the NAACP is just a shell of what they used to be, but I wanted to keep them focused on this is what maybe you might want to do, get out here and do something very constructive. Very intelligent women. I mean, young girls. It was, you know, they was 11th and 12th graders, 10th, 11th, 12th graders. And they did a magnificent job because they believe that we can do things that that have not been done. But we're staying focused, James, and I really want you to stay on. Don't hang up. And I want you to hear some of this other stuff that we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to bring on my dear friend, one of my heroes, my guy. I don't care how short he is, he's still my guy. He's from New York, and remember, James, he talks funny, but he's my man. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
I'm there, Reverend. Enjoying every moment of it. And one of the things that you know, like I wanted to talk about is exactly.
Your phone got an echo to it. Your phone has an echo. You must be in Texas somewhere. Wow. Well, we lost him for a minute, but he'll be back, James. He has some kind of his wife is Lynn Stewart, the attorney, who was sent to prison for defending the blind sheik. And at first they gave, I believe it was 29 months, I believe it was, and then they changed it to something different. But I think Ralph is back now. Let's see where you at. Ralph,
yeah,
Pointer, you there? You still got that echo. It's like a double sound.
Reverend.
Yes.
Reverend, am I on?
You're on, but you got a funny sound in your phone.
Still
got it.
Oh, my goodness.
That sounds better. Keep talking. Let me hear you talk.
Yeah, well, I was talking about your presentation. Is this
mm-hmm.
any better?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, she had about 28 months, but they changed it to 120 months because they said that she was traveling around the country to law schools and universities corrupting our youth. And what she was really doing was traveling around to law schools and universities challenging the professors in law schools and universities and anyone who would stand up and debate her on the Bill of Rights and what's happening in this country. And this is exactly what she was doing. So they call that corrupting of the youth. And it brings me right back to where we are now and what your program has been about. And your program has been about telling people what's going to happen, like a fortune teller, based on what has happened in the past. And you called the alarm, like Paul Revere, you know, saying, freeze your Cummings, you called the alarm about the special Wow. That's coming true. One of the things in that you're organizing of people around the country to wake up and look and see what the various organizations are doing, like the one you've been much involved in, and your debts in NHEP, they're not doing the right thing, and somebody has to stand up and point that out. And I see that your tree of information is bearing fruit, that you people around the country are beginning to talk about this reality, first raised by Reverend Pinkman. And so I would like to raise another issue, and that is not so much of what's coming to your town, but what will come to your town if we don't do the right thing right back in the beginning at Benton Harbor. Now, if people have cooperated with Boycott and Whirlpool, we must do more of that. We must do it better. We must be in Benton Harbor to begin a plan of action for around the country to support your demonstrations against this golf club or whatever it is that they're doing negative to the community. We must bring that to world attention. So this is very important, and your program is very important in doing this, and you have done it. And so I would like to talk to people about what will happen if we don't win in Benton Harbor.
Very good. Hey, Ralph, your phone still sounds terrible, but look, let me work on that and get back to you right fast. But
okay,
I think it's
great.
In your phone.
Okay.
Hey, say that again.
Great, I can hear that.
Okay, because sometimes you sound better, sometimes you don't. But listen, I'm gonna bring on Mary until you we can correct that little problem there. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you very much. Hello, audience. Hello to your special guest, a former NAACP chapter president. I thank you for the opportunity to be on today. I just emailed you, Reverend Pinkney, to let you know that another guest of yours from, I think, this February, named Esteban Garcia, who is the author of the U.S. Jailhouse Lawyer's Manual, is going to be in Atlanta on May 20th for a book signing for his new book, and that is U.S. Jailhouse Lawyer's Manual, The Unconstitutional Plea. And the exciting news is that William Windsor, who is the producer of the movie that he's producing right now, and that is Lawless America, the movie, he is going to be on the Justice Symposium with us at the Auburn Street Library on May 20th. And he is going across the country and making a movie with a lot of people, 750 people, who feel that they've been mistreated in the justice system. And also, we're going to have Fred B. Mann, who is a community organizer and activist, host of a local television show that's very popular, and that's called Victory Over Balance. He believes that people who suffered balance, like he has, he's legally blind from a gunshot wound when he was a child. He believes that people who suffered balance need to work on themselves to, you know, channel that anger and that hurt into useful activities like you and I do. I know that you were arrested for a year, were you not, for quoting the Bible.
That is correct.
You know, there are many ways to suffer balance. Sometimes the balance is physical, and sometimes it's emotional and psychological, like you and your guest today. And so we've all been through something if we're even adults. And it's a good thing to learn how to channel those emotions into an avenue to reach out and help others. And that's what Fred B. Mann advises us to do. And, of course, that is what we all do on your show every Sunday, by reaching out and telling others, look, I know how you feel. I've been there. Let's do something about it. Let's get together at the PGA conference occupy the PGA and let people know that we're here, we're not going to be ignored, and we're going to air our grievances. So these are the things that people do in order to air their grievances. They also file lawsuits like you did against the NAACP. I really think that if you, I believe that, you know, if you and your attorney approach them at this point, I really believe that you could come to some accord without court. Now, that's just my opinion. I have my own reasons for thinking that, but I really think it's very possible.
Mary, I don't believe it's possible because the only thing they want Reverend Pinckney out, and that is not negotiable. And I don't believe that we can come to any conclusion at this time that would be favorable to them or me. One thing, if we go to court and they decide to want to make a deal, they better talk dollars also with me, because what they did, they came here and they falsely accused me of things that they knew that was not true. And then they put a bad stigma on me and telling people that I did something wrong. They told them that Pinckney did something wrong, and the people ran with it. And so whatever they come here and want to offer, and there's still a possibility, knowing that they're part of this corporate world, they could still win in court. But but the fight don't end in court, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think that's the thing that people are finding out. And, of course, with the Janet Cochran firm, with Matt Fight, they thought that controlling the bar and controlling the media and having judges on their side would help. But if you look online right now for Cochran firm fraud, they're on Front Street for defrauding minorities. So these organizations and corporations are after the Internet now, because that is our avenue to combat injustice, even though the courts may not be on our side, and even though the corporations are definitely not on our side, the people's side, black, white, Native American, Asian, it doesn't matter. The people need to stand up for themselves. But what they fail to realize is if they conquer the Internet with bills like the one that the House of Representatives passed this week called CISPA, C-I-S-P-A, if they do take over the Internet with such bills, then they've taken away the people's peaceful means of communicating about problems and activating our First Amendment rights to, petition the government for redress of grievances. It's not an idea to shut the people down, because you don't really want to do that unless you want things to get violent. Because people right now use the Internet to negotiate, to network, and to air grievances. And it's important to leave that open. And I urge all our representatives to think about that, because none of us want to live under martial law, and none of us want to die trying to get us in NDAA concentration camps, because people don't intend to go there. I'm telling you, while you're getting them ready and getting them stocked with personnel and getting them stocked with a little bit of food and that sort of thing, I'm telling you that Americans are not, and I'm not being derogatory toward Chinese, but I just want to say that we are not Chinese. We've not been raised that way. We were raised to believe in liberty and justice for all. And after you have drilled something into a people every morning of their lives when they walk in a schoolhouse, it's in them. And we want our liberty and justice for all. And our relatives and friends have died for liberty and justice for all under that flag, under that banner. If it was false, although it was not false, they still paid the price for it, okay? So even if you never meant it, even if it was false, the price has been paid now, and you've got to deliver. And so you can't come up here with all these concentration camp bills, drone planes over America, and all of this. And not only that, sir, but we're not so stupid. Al Sharpton said this week, do not riot on the anniversary of the Rodney King riots. Now, it sounds like the knee shot is 1 hour a day. No, Mr. Shelton, nobody's going to riot, and I don't even think anybody's talking about riots, but the fucking mother system. Because hope that black people, they might hope that black people will riot as an excuse for martial law and to use all those billions of dollars that's been spent on concentration camps. Why would we riot over the person you picked out?
Yes.
Over the person, when I say you, I mean the system. Mm-hmm. There have been dozens of murders by police this year. Why would we riot over the one person that Congress picked out, that the White House picked out, that so-called leaders picked out, Trayvon Martin? Somebody who wasn't even killed by a police officer, so therefore the family suit won't cost the government entities anything. We're too smart for that, and we're too smart to go against strong planes, militarized police who you gave tanks to and machine guns to, and also actual military soldiers who have been trained in putting down social unrest. And also the people who have the capacity to get on the phone and call in NATO troops, that's Chinese, French, Italian from other countries who don't even have any loyalty to Americans and will come over here and not mind kicking butt. So why would black people riot against all of that?
Hey,
no,
hey Mary, I just say there's not a reason in this world. If we haven't started rioting already, there would not be a riot. Not in
no,
it and it definitely look, I just said the revolution will be televised or won't be televised. Either way it goes, it's not going. Mary, you got about 2 minutes to say whatever your heart desires. I gotta bring Ralph back and make sure his phone is okay and let's see what go from there. Go ahead, Mary, you got 2 minutes. Go
right
ahead.
Then. I just wanna say to everybody, especially all the young people, that there have been situations in the past with the Black Panther Party and with the Occupy movement where the people went to rallies and other agitators came from outside and started things so they would look like they were doing things. I want you to be aware of that. And if you go to any Trayvon Martin rallies or anything else, I would like for you to leave if things get hot. Just leave. Because we don't need this direction that things are going in. These people obviously can't be trusted. And so you just need to be cognizant of what's going on. And also, please, look online for Esteban Garcia, Mary Neal, and after Esteban Garcia leaves Atlanta with his, oh, by the way, who's suing? This organization, U.S. Prison Reform Coalition, it announced today a lawsuit against the Texas Department of Corrections. That's down there where Ralph Plunger's wife, Lynn Stewart, is in a Carswell medical facility. This organization, this U.S. Prison Reform Coalition, is launching a class action lawsuit against the state of Texas Department of Corrections for prisoner abuse. So look online for that. Just go to my Nearly Loves Justice blog sometime tonight. I'm working on getting a press release out about that class action.
All right, then,
right,
Mary.
We didn't hear you coming up there with you, Reverend.
All right, then. We'll see how that worked out. And just hold on there, and I'll give you a few minutes at the end. Dr. Moore, are you there? Dr. Moore, are you there? Hello? Dr. Moore? Not there. All right, let me go back to Ralph right fast. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am. How am I coming now?
You're still bad, Ralph. You're still bad. You're still
I
bad.
I am so sorry.
Is that, that's okay. It's just that cheap phone. That's all right. We can live with it. You're my brother, so you know we got to work together. But let me go to Ron's right fast, and we'll get back with you, Ralph. That's okay.
No,
you know, we got a full board today. We got more people than we ever had before. And I guess they're excited. All right. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney, and I'm excited because I know all of us together are going to stand up, are going to speak up, and we're going to make a change and save our country and save our schools.
Oh, absolutely. We do. And you know what? We got to start saving our schools. They do not want the children to be educated no more. So we have to do the things that need to be done and take this thing to a whole different level. I know when I was in California, and I, like I told you before, I'm on my way back to L.A. I'm going to make sure that I get there in August, and let's see what happens. See, can we get these folks moving for a little while?
Right. I put you on Facebook today.
Oh, very good. You did a good job.
Oh, thank you. And I also read the 1,000 pages that my lawyer sent me, that Judge Cohn sent Dr. Stahlberg, and how they didn't have all the pages for even my grievance. They had it, but they didn't have where I won. He had many copies of my testimony that they made, like three copies of it, where the judge changed the facts. Everybody needs to read all your legal documents. Make notes, get the correct letters that states that this is not true. Please go to the Lord. He's the only one that is going to save you and get you through this. I don't want you to have stress. It could cause cancer, heart problems. Just cling to the Lord. 12 years of my admitted case where my students sprayed me in my face, and it was God. It was God who brought me to you, Reverend Pinckney.
Rod, I just want to tell you, hey, you got to keep on pushing. Hey, when that child sprayed you in your face and you said nobody did nothing?
No. They didn't call the paramedics. I walked to the office. One of the other teachers, my good friend, took me in there, and they had me sit in the nurse's office. There was not a nurse there. I was in the bathroom most of the time. I was so sick. My skin was burning. My tongue was closing, swelling. My nose was closing. I was nauseous. I was dizzy. I had chest pains. I could hardly breathe. And no one did anything. And
wow.
That did not clean up the room with the toxic chemicals. 180 students from LAUSD were in the classroom for months with the toxic chemicals.
Wow, that is serious. I tell you one thing, when I get to L.A., I'm going to make sure I address that. And here, in August, I want you to give me the dates that the school board have their meeting. If you can email me that way I can put my schedule around that and make sure I get a chance to go talk to the board again. Because to me, it's very, very important that we talk to people who can make decisions. And that's where we had to. But also, I want to talk to the Warren Fletcher, the president of the union. I want to make sure we get a chance to talk to everybody, so make sure that we can get everybody on one page and one accord and make sure that we stand up for what's right. But your situation, I'm hoping that you'll be able to get win your case and have it resolved by the time I get there, because I got a feeling things are going to turn out for the best for you.
Oh, they are. I'm believing for that. I'm expecting that. I want people, even in their tears, to speak that. My appeal went in. We're praying, if everybody prays with me, for argument number one. That will change the law for everyone. They can refer to my case. There's four arguments where they didn't even use. They changed all the evidence.
Yes.
It's not even substantial. It's 60 days once they get the appeal. So I would presume by June, July, I will have an answer.
Very, very good. You know what, Rod? You got about 60 seconds to say whatever your heart desires, and then I'm going to come back to you at the end of the show so you can do a recap. Tell me what you want everybody to know.
Okay, I want to just say that I really already won, because we all have God. God has brought me to you, Reverend Pinckney. We need to really open our eyes and our heart and accept all of us, because all of us together, we're going to win. We have to say that peacefully, we have to just go out and make a difference, get everybody to stand up and speak up. And look, I met you, I met Mary, I've met so many wonderful people through this. It's God's way, it's God's perfect timing when everything happens.
You know what, Rod, this is just the beginning, because we're going to show them, we're going to make them put up a shut up. That's how we're going to deal with them. We got to let them know that even if we have to get in their face, we're going to let them know that we're serious about what we're doing. And, Rob, I want you to stay with me. Don't leave me. Let me bring on Jan. Jennifer, are you there? Jan? 734.
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm fine. This is Monica. How you doing today?
Monica. Okay, I thought you, Jennifer folks had called in today also, and she's from Ann Arbor also. So, Monica, talk to me.
Well, as you know, democracy got trampled over in Michigan again on Thursday, the April 26th, when our very biased two members on the board, which was Norman Stinko and also Tim Jeffrey Timmer, decided
yes.
to sway on the side of who was lining their pockets instead of the side of the American people and also the Michigan people who wanted to vote on PA4 and trample on our state constitution and also trample on our democracy all over the state of Michigan. I just think it was a grievous decision, and I also think that Norman Stinko, here, by the way, who somehow can't manage to read legal, should have his law license removed, because if I have it correct, Sanders, who was the attorney for the Stand Up for Democracy team, the case law, which is precedent,
Monica, you still there? Did I lose you, Monica?
Open done on September 6, 2002. Read that case, Reverend Pinkley. It basically says that, in just that, if there is a case of a discrepancy, if the discrepancy is not a gross discrepancy, the people should be allowed to vote. That was the case that he was citing about the Michigan Appeals Court, and that case was done September 6, 2002. With that, Norman Stinko, as a lawyer, should have known about this case, and I'm pretty sure he did. And I'm pretty sure it was not unfamiliar to him at the time when Herbert Sanders basically recited the case in his argument. Norman Stinko, right after that meeting, which I happened to catch up with him, and I asked him, I said, you know, sir, what party affiliation are you? Because I didn't know at the time of the meeting. And so he actually, after looking at me up and down and asking me who my name was and basically trying to make a long story short, act as if I was too less than him to ask the question, he basically says, I have and for all my life have been a Republican. That shows that he had bias coming into that room, and he had bias in the decision. He should have his law license removed.
Yeah, and you are absolutely correct, Monica. Monica, you know, as you know, that I was there with you on that day, and I know you had told me that you had confronted him and told him about this situation. But, you know, here's my thing. I do have a copy of the petition that Mr. Sanders' law firm put together, and you are absolutely correct. What you're saying is so true. But the point is, see, they're so used to the people not doing stuff. See, one of the biggest moments there was when they was confronted face-to-face with these guys. This, they're going around saying now that those guys assaulted him and spit on him. I don't know whether that's true or false. I wasn't that close. But what he's trying to do, but the point is, here's my point. We have to make sure that we do what we need to do, because there should be a penalty for what they did. I don't know what the penalty should be, but we should be thinking about something that we need to do, and we need to do it right away. So that's how I feel about it, Monica. And you know, and I tell you, you did a tremendous job. I really appreciate you, you know, because you do a lot of work. And I don't think we can make it without you, Monica.
Come on, we're not mad.
You still there, Monica? Monica, I think I lost Monica, too. I think today is the day we lose everybody. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I am. How is it now?
Still bad, but I guess we only got a few more minutes to go through this. Go right ahead.
Well, you said the things that need to be said. There's a question of what they are doing to us, and the next question is, what are we going to do about it?
That's
and
right.
I began by trying to say that the question, we know what they're going to do if we don't do something about it.
Absolutely, now, absolutely.
That you have set up boycott, economic
yeah.
sanction, tear up any membership card that you
Ralph,
belong
I
to.
I can barely hear you, Ralph. I got to come
I'm
back
sorry.
To you. That's okay. That's okay. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinkney. Hello, Mr. Ralph. I'm sorry that you seem to be the target today.
Yeah.
A lot of times my sound is bad.
Well, you know what,
I
think they're trying to make everybody the target today, because the way it's going, people, you know, it's not coming in real clear. And normally, you know, usually the only one don't come in clear. But listen, I got to bring my guest back on. So let me bring him back on so he can have his closing words. And then we, before the show is over, I'm going to come right back to you. Is that okay with you?
Thank you, Reverend.
Okay, then. All right. That's fine. James.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I tell you, you know, one thing that, you know, it seemed to me we got problems all over this country. And the thing is, when are we going to say enough is enough, James? That's when things started changing. That young lady, Monica, she was in Lansing with me when they was talking about these petitions. We went out and got 226,000 petitions, and the two Republicans voted against them of being approved. He said the phone wasn't 14. It wasn't a 14, which it was a 14, but they used that as an excuse, and there was no repercussion by the people. But here's what I liked about that whole thing. On Thursday, I believe that was, Thursday, we went and put them two guys went up there and put the pressure on this guy. I mean, he scared them half to death, and he was so mad, so intimidated that he never came back. Then he went around telling people that these guys spit on him, which I did not see that. But my point is, we have, even with the NAACP, we have to make them put up or shut up. You know, they run around Detroit right now like they're some kind of big dog, didn't want to get involved with these signatures until we got the signature. Then they want to act like they've been part of this all along. This is the kind of crap that really gets me. And James, I got to confess. You know, I'm like you on these things. You know, we have to call the NAACP out and start our own organization. Absolutely.
Yeah, we must, since they misrepresented us so long, we must demand that they be held accountable or they need to close their doors.
That's right.
They're misrepresenting our ancestors.
Absolutely. All the things that people have died for.
Uh-huh.
And you are 100% correct. Everything that people have died for, they have misrepresented us for, and we got to make them hold them accountable. And most of the time, we don't do it, especially black folks. They'd rather not do anything.
My biggest problem is all of them have problem issues, but they don't want to come to us until they have a problem. They're not willing
right.
to come to us, you know, as a collectively or work together to build this movement. So hopefully we'll be able to do something to get them to understand that we must build a new movement.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm going to give this girl Gwen your number because she's also she's out of Michigan, and she's also fighting pretty much the same fight that we're fighting with pretty much the same people. And I want her to be involved and connected with some of the things that we do too. And there's the guys out of Atlanta and everybody and every place else who want to be part of this. Hey, we're going to welcome everybody. Even some of their folks, if their folks want to come and join us, they can do that too. Because I tell you, we're not going to sit back and allow them to continue to punish us, punish our children and our children's children. And it's going to continue that way until further notice. But that's sometimes the way it goes. But look, we can't sit back and wait and expect them to do nothing, because this is the way that we have to keep moving. If we don't do it, and we ain't got nobody to blame but ourselves. Let me bring Mary back on for just 1 second, and we'll go from there. Ralph, are you there?
I'm here. I hope you can hear me.
You still messed up.
I'm sorry. I must be in a bad location.
Yeah.
I was here before. I will thank you. You had a wonderful program. I will talk to you next week, and I will be there.
All right. I'm looking forward to you. And look. You gotta call me so we'll know where we're gonna put you up and everything.
We'll talk about that. I will call you after the program.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Reverend.
All right. Hang on though, Mary. You're there.
I'm hanging on.
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and I thank you for the opportunity to sign off with y'all. Thank you so much for everything you do, Reverend Pinckney. Thank you for being a man who cares, who is real, who stands up. I mean, you know, I was about to be discouraged and think that everybody wearing suits were sellouts. And then I met Reverend Pinckney. And here's not only a man who's doing everything he can and standing up and being a man no matter what. Here's a man that's also a person who is in the pulpit preaching the word of God and doing it. And you don't know what that means to me, Reverend, because I really have been losing hope in my people. All of these so-called leaders, you know what I've been through. And then I meet here today another man, your guest, who also is a stand-up man. It's a blessing. Please, y'all, go to BH Banco online. Please send a love offering. Please send a donation. Please send something toward the lawsuit, because we do need to stand together. And it's fine for us to get together on the radio and talk. But after you hang up the phones, after you turn off your computers, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, people? Please go to BH Banco online and send a generous donation. You know, generous for you might be $5. You might be unemployed like I am because of this system. But please send a generous donation to Reverend Pinckney to help him really go the places he's promising people he'll go and to be able to be the voice for the 99%. And that is not limited to black people. You just heard Rosie, who is a white teacher in L.A., who's going through the same thing. They're coming for all of us. So please, everybody get together, and don't just get together and tune in. We appreciate that. But get together and continue this fight. Send a donation to bhbanco.org. It's online. That's B-H-B-A-N-C-O. And I thank you. You can look online for Mary Loves Justice for the information I was talking about earlier. That's Mary Loves Justice. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. And what is your guest name? Could you say it again?
James Turner.
James Turner.
Is that Turner?
Tucker.
I'm sorry. Let me apologize. James Tucker. Colorado. And I just want to say that Mary, let me bring on Rod for her closing remarks. And we couldn't get to Ralph, and we got about seven other people. We won't get to them today, but we'll get them next week. We'll get them up early. They'll be the first to hear the show, first to come on, and then we'll get Ralph back on because I can't work without Ralph. Ralph, my main man, and I just want to let y'all know that it seems to be something in not just Ralph's phone, but it's other phones too. But they seem today, well, you know how they do. They can do anything they can to stop the message from getting out, but we're going to do what we can. Roz, you got a couple of minutes to say whatever your heart desires. Say it.
Okay, the bigger the attack, like your telephones today, the bigger the blessings coming. Mr. Tucker, thank you for serving our country. Mary is having a program at 3:30 today where we can all call in. Mary should give that information. And I'm looking for a civil attorney. And we are all believing, and we thank you, Reverend Pinckney, because we know that God is using you. We're going through a terrible time, but it's a wake-up time that all of us have to stand together to have our country and save our children and save the schools. They are entitled to a wonderful education, not what is going on now.
And you know you are absolutely correct, Roz. I tell you, I wish, if I had one wish right now for these teachers, all the teachers that's in L.A., all the teachers that's in Chicago, all the teachers that's in Michigan, Detroit, all around this country, would just stand up and say, hey, we're not going to take this crap no more. And I'm looking forward to them saying that. At one time we had the teachers here, they was willing to fight, and then they whined and dined them back to sleep. And now they're getting ready to get attacked again. Three principals were let go just last week. So what are we going to do? Are we going to just sit back and allow them to do this to our children?
No, we're not.
No. So
we're going to speak up.
Absolutely. See, but if we don't open our mouths and try to change things, this thing going to get worse.
It is going to get worse. Is stupid children the next generation?
Mm-hmm.
This is terrible. Mm-hmm. This affects all of us.
All of us. Every last one of us. And look, what they're doing, they got something called the pipeline to prison. And I was reading that book, And it's amazing what it's saying. And it's right here. It tells you they do not want to educate our children. They don't care nothing about the teachers no more. You're expendable.
Well, they don't care about the children. The children, when they sit in a seat, there are a certain amount of money they get, and that's all they care.
They're paying
for all the lawsuits. They're paying for the sexual predators at the schools, and they've got their own priorities. The union gets your dues. They give money to these candidates that haven't done anything.
Absolutely.
And won't do anything.
You are 100% right, Rob, but I just want to remind everybody to me that we have to stand together. It doesn't matter to me whether you're black, white, Mexican, Puerto Rican, or whatever it is, Chinese, Japanese, it don't make a difference. We have to take a stand. We have to take this thing to a whole different level. I tell you one thing I have learned. I know that as African Americans, they don't want to join nothing until it actually concerns them. When it concerns them, then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. And I know
everybody.
The best example I can give you, there was an attack on her daughter, this lady daughter, at Lakeshore High School in Stephenville, which is about 96% Caucasian. And she just so happened to be black. All these years, I was trying to get her to come to an NAACP meet. I would call her. I would beg her. I would even come by her house. I would do everything. I even got her daughter an apartment. But yet and still, she would not come to the NAACP meet. She called me during the week and told me she need me. You need to drop everything you're doing, Reverend Pinckney, and because what they're doing to my granddaughter over at the high school over there, and we need you. So I gave her a little tongue lashing, and I told her that I want her to write everything down that happened. When you complete that, give me a call. And I have not heard back from her because I am not doing nothing until people start doing the things that they need to do. You're going to have to write things down for me. But on that note, I got to talk about Occupy the PGA. It's from May 23rd through the 27th. On May 23rd, we will do our death march with our coffin and the Benton Harbor residents as we march from City Hall all the way to Gene Clark Park. It will be a nice, peaceful march. It would be a nice, peaceful demonstration. Then, on the 24th, we would duplicate. We would take our casket, and we're going to do our death march once again. And we're going to do that again on the 25th. But on the 26th, we are expecting thousands and thousands of people to show up. And we're telling everybody we will occupy the senior PGA tournament, golf tournament. We will meet at Benton Harbor City Hall, 200 Wall Street, at 10 a.m. each day. Then we will march to the golf course. We will have speakers and food. The emergency financial manager, Joseph Harris, must go. We are committed to escalating the Occupy movement to support human rights. They're still in our home, and they're still in our lives, and they're still in our children. Democracy is non-existent here in Benton Harbor. We have a dictator in Benton Harbor, Michigan. The PGA will be played on a $750 million, 530-acre resort near Lakeshore with Jack Nicklaus, signature designer golf course, and with $500,000 condominium. We cannot forget the stolen land inside Gene Clark Park. We are in a war here in Benton Harbor. They say don't use the word war. We are in a war here, and I'm telling you this, and they're chopping us off, picking us off, doing everything they can. But don't forget, May 23rd through the 27th, 26th, that Saturday is the big day. The 23rd is our death march. Be here in Benton Harbor. May 23rd through the 27th, be here. And on that note, James, you got the last word.
I'm amazed at what you're doing, and there's a need to continue to organize, and plan this movement where it's going to be very, very effective. So nothing's going to happen overnight, so we just continue to communicate, identify the problems, and takes action. We've got to take action. That's the only thing the system understands.
And, you know, James, you are absolutely correct. And even with the NAACP out here clowning, they need to be undressed. And we need to hold them accountable for the action and inaction. And if we are the only one qualified to do it, because you and I both are inside that. We know what they're doing. We know what they want. And like I said, on May 6th, here in Detroit, Michigan, they have the biggest fundraiser, Freedom Fund General Day. Eric Holder will be the keynote speaker. Eric Holder. And at first I was planning on picking it, but the word is that they don't know whether that would be a great idea, but I think it's a tremendous idea to pick at the NAACP. I think that's the step that we have to take. That's the information we need to get out here. We need to let people know that the NAACP is not what it is, not what you think it is. Us older folks, the young folks know nothing about it. But listen, on that note, we have just ran out of time. And I want to thank everybody. Raph, I'm so sorry that we didn't get you in. And everybody else, I'm sorry. But if you call me first and let me know that you want to speak, I promise you I will allow you to speak on my scout's honor. On that note, I got to say goodnight to everybody. Goodnight, everybody, and thank you so much for being on the show. God bless you all.
God bless you, Rebel.
Goodnight, and God bless.
All right.
Thank you, audience. Thank you so much.